It's the boss.
I call shots like a boss.
And the gloss.
Check it out. My lip gloss, I only rock clear.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
I got that sunshine in my pocket. Got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body.
Good afternoon and welcome in. It is great to be here. Carla, you ready to fire it up today?
I'm ready to roll. Let's do this.
We have the great Sean Mapes behind the glass.
Mr.
Iconic, legendary producer behind the glass. He's going to keep us on track. And it is always fun to be here on a Monday night because we have a big Monday night football game. Or not so big Monday night football game. At least we don't have the Jets playing this Monday night.
Thank you, Lord.
Because it always seems the Jets are getting the primetime matchups. But tonight it is a different matchup.
We got the Bears and the Vikings.
The Bears and the Vikings.
Going into Minnesota.
Well, it should be a pretty even matchup, frankly. These two teams are both have deficits right now. They're both playing with backup quarterbacks. Quarterbacks they did not start the season with. Of course, the Vikings certainly wish they had Kirk Cousins in the fold. He is not there.
Although I'm anxious to see Joshua Dobbs. This will be his third game back with Chicago. Won the first one, lost a tough one in Denver. And here we are. Week three, he probably knows his teammates' names now and has maybe even had like one or two looks through the playbook. I really love him. Like he's someone I want to get on the train.
You always like these rocket scientists, right?
Do.
That's your kind of guy,
I
think.
I'm all about it. Yeah, yes. Bring it. So I'm
and when you combine a rocket scientist with great athletic ability, you're all there.
Oh, yeah. That's a
new man friend for you, maybe?
A new man friend for me.
Okay, now
Carla Dobbs. I wouldn't even have to change my monogram.
Carla Dobbs. Yeah, that
like
sort of works. Now, let's not get carried away, though. All right, now, Bears have been playing with a backup, but they've got Josh Fields back.
Justin Fields,
thank you. Yes,
yep.
It's Josh Dobbs and Justin Fields. So we will see how Justin Fields develops here. I mean, obviously, one of the storylines for Justin Fields is will he play enough, will he show enough this season so that when the Bears get to the end of the year, they can say, we have our franchise quarterback. We have our quarterback of the future. Or the Bears need to go shopping for another quarterback at this point in time.
I'll tell you what. I do think the Bears need to go shopping, but it's not necessarily for a quarterback. That name would be Matt Eberflus.
Oh, no.
So they sit at 3-8. He's 6-22 over the last two seasons. I don't know how much of a leash I would give. I mean, later I think we're going to talk about coaches, obviously, there's a firing today. Carolina let go of Frank Reich 12 games into the season.
Yes.
Why you hired a guy that was let go 9 games into the season with Indy last year, questionable, but it's David Tepper, so he does what he does. But I think that Matt Eberflus is one who's got to be on the hot seat at this point if things can't turn around. And I don't see that he's helping Justin Fields. Now, he has had injury issues, Justin Fields. He's been off the field a lot. But it's time for him to his development to keep going in the right direction, not to be stagnant or opposite way.
Well, on the Bears, I mean, the most notable thing about the Bears, if I were a Bear fan, is that they are very well positioned. They are on pace to secure two of the overall top seven.
They've got Carolinas. And Carolinas got the worst record in the league.
They got Carolinas. They've got their own. I mean, really, right now, if I were a Bears fan, I'd want to see Fields perform at a high level. I'd love to believe that we already have our quarterback and then we can use our draft capital on something else. But they have the resources to go get a Caleb Williams if, in fact, that's the right answer at the end of the year.
Yeah, exactly. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of teams looking for a quarterback, probably. Look at the New York Football Giants. Can't imagine Tommy DeVito is scratching that itch over there in New York. But
no, and look at the Patriots. They're 2-9. They're angling for a new quarterback, and they will need one.
Oh, wow. They might need a new coach, too. We got to get to that coach's list later.
But the shortage of quarterbacks in the league really highlighted by the injuries this year. When you think about the name marquee quarterbacks who have been injured, I mean, Joe Burrow, Aaron Rodgers, Kirk Cousins, these are really good players. And Deshaun Watson. These are marquee guys, top 10 quarterbacks.
Coming along.
Oh, yeah. No, it looked like Watson was really getting his legs underneath him and starting to play at the old Deshaun Watson level. And, boy, living here in Houston, when Watson plays his best games,
he's unstoppable.
He is really impressive. Yeah. And the Bears were starting, the Browns were starting to get that, coupled with their extraordinary defense. But, look, the starting quarterbacks who've been injured has been one of the really unfortunate elements of this NFL season. And those teams, that don't have their starting quarterbacks. Look, I didn't even mention Daniel Jones because I don't know that that was a big loss.
Yeah, that's okay. That's fair.
But nevertheless,
with you on that one.
They lost it, and they're starting a guy named Tommy DeVito. So you go down the list, and one of the unfortunate things about this season is we're watching a lot of bad quarterback play. These backups who have stepped in, the Tommy DeVitos of the league, the Zach Wilsons of the league, guys who are not intended to be starters coming into the season.
Daniel Jones, the Mac Jones.
There it goes.
You and me could keep up with the Joneses at this point.
Well,
seriously.
We're trying at least.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a tough year for quarterbacks, to be sure. Interesting night tonight, though. Josh Dobbs leading the Vikings. They have gone 5-1 without wide receiver Justin Jefferson.
Which is astounding.
It is, because Jefferson really is their best player on that whole team.
Oh, he's probably the best wide receiver in football, or if at least not one of the best.
Yeah, you could make a case on the defensive side that Danielle Hunter might be their best player. I mean, he is second in the NFL this season with 12, count them, 12 quarterback sacks. Very impressive.
Oh, my gosh. That's going to be a rough day for Justin Fields, although he moves around. So let's see. But, you know, we talked about Matt Eberflus, 0-9 against the NFC North. And then on the other side of the ball for Minnesota, you have Kevin O'Connell, who has done a fantastic job with the Vikings. So this will be interesting.
Well, he has done a great job navigating through all the ups and downs, losing Jefferson, losing Kirk Cousins. Those are really big names to lose.
Yeah, and they've lost a lot of games that are very close, like within 6 points. So it'll be interesting.
Okay,
Vikings
favored by three. It should be a fun matchup. We will keep you updated as developments happen there. Now we have a minute to look back, because we're going to look over all the games of this weekend, but I do want to go back to Thanksgiving Day. Not for long, because much of those games have been...
It feels so long ago, right?
Yeah, it seems like a long time ago, and a lot of that has been dissected already. To me, I mean, look, the Cowboys took care of business. They beat the Commanders, and they should have.
In an embarrassing loss for Washington.
It was.
45-10.
You know, they were in it and holding their heads above water sort of midway through the third quarter, and then when the turnovers started to happen, the jailbreak happened, and the Cowboys just pulled away. Another big margin differential win for the Cowboys.
Which is what they're supposed to do.
Yes.
Taking care of business.
Yep.
Do you think Jack Del Rio should have been fired by Ron Rivera the next day? He's was their defensive coordinator.
Well,
do you think Jack Del Rio's the problem?
Well, no, they've got lots of problems there. Interestingly, I think Ron Rivera is trying to pull every possible lever to save his own job.
Yep.
Obviously, new ownership there. And I think when they get to this offseason, that new owner will want to hire his own person. And when we get to coming up in
coaching
a segment,
changes.
Different coaches that will be replaced, I think Ron Rivera is on that list. And I'm not discounting Ron Rivera as a coach. He's had some successes.
Sure he has.
But I just don't think that long-term he's the fit there with the Commanders. And the firing of Jack Del Rio, look, the Commanders' defense was not good. But remember, they traded away two star players on their defensive front. They were sellers at the deadline. And so they didn't get a lot of pressure on Dak Prescott. But when you trade away your two best pass rushers, what do you expect? I mean,
that's
more than Jack Del Rio. It's a whole ecosystem there. But the Cowboys took care of business against the Commanders.
Yeah, Dak looked fantastic.
And Dak is on fire. Coming out of that
really
break, I'm telling you, that offense has been different. They figured out different things that make Dak Prescott more effective. The surprise to me on Thanksgiving Day was the Packers defeating the Lions, because we're all trying to get our head around whether the Lions are for real. Can you believe that the Lions are really a force in that NFC? They certainly seem to be on their way to winning the division, but to lose to the Packers on Thanksgiving Day, marquee matchup, national audience, and Jordan Love still developing, that was a tough loss for the Lions.
I think it was a really tough loss for them. And in the simple... My simple answer to you is it's Thanksgiving Day. Turkey Day, the turkey showed up. I mean, once again, Detroit loses on Thanksgiving. It's
they
are just kind of conditioned to that
for
whatever that is. But, you know, here's the sad thing that I don't want to admit that I saw, because I really love me some Detroit. I mean, I really got into them during the Hard Knocks and love what Dan Campbell is doing. Good Lord, Matt Campbell. He's in Iowa. But what Dan Campbell is doing, I love the coordinators. That their offensive coordinator, Ben Johnson, is fantastic, and I would not be surprised if he is up for a head coaching job. What has been kind of okay, I'm not going to read too much into it, what I saw on Thanksgiving Day was, Jared Goff is still Jared Goff. He's a turnover-prone guy. He was at Cal. He was when he got to the Rams. And then Sean McVay fixed him, sort of. But do you remember? It was because every play was being talked into his ear. So I think the comeuppance of the Lions has hidden a lot of Jared Goff is still Jared Goff. And I really saw that on Thanksgiving Day. I'm like, dang it. This could be the Achilles heel for the Lions.
Yes, and it's interesting to look back at that history when Jared Goff was with the Rams. Yes, McVay did a good job with Goff.
Because he had Jeff Fisher first, and it was a certified disaster.
That was a disaster. Sean McVay definitely upgraded Goff, but didn't fix him so well that McVay still believed in him. McVay shipped him away to bring in Matt Stafford.
Exactly.
So clearly McVay did not believe that Goff was going to be the guy to take him to the Super Bowl. The Lions made that bet, and look, they've gotten a lot out of Jared Goff. He's played better ball than he ever did with the Rams.
Exactly. And I thought, okay, I love being proved wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wrong. But and maybe it was just a bad day, and it was Thanksgiving Day, and bad game Thanksgiving Day. But when I saw he was on the ground a lot, I was like, oh, wow, here we go again. So we'll see. Remains to be seen. I think it's important what happens going forward. Keep your eyes on Goff.
I think the Lions do need some help in their secondary. I think they're still weak in that front. And then they may regret that they don't have another pass rusher behind Aiden Hutchinson, or in addition to Aiden Hutchinson, who has obviously done very, very well for them.
Oh, my gosh.
Exceptional pass rusher off the edge. But they don't have a lot of other pieces around on that defense. All right, when we come back, we are going to take a look at one of the marquee matchups yesterday. It was the Jaguars beating the Texans. Trevor Lawrence versus C.J. Stroud. Is that the beginning
for first place in the AFC South
of a new great rivalry? That up next here on Sports Map Radio.
This is The Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao
and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back. And one of the great games yesterday was the Jaguars' win over the Texans. And it already led us to thinking about a longstanding rivalry. These two teams in the same division, both with young and exciting quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence versus C.J. Stroud. I remember a couple years ago, everyone was excited about the emerging rivalry between Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen. They were going to be the next Peyton Manning versus Tom Brady. And the Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes thing may or may not develop here. The Bills are looking like they're going to sort of fade down the stretch. But this rivalry really does look promising. I mean, both teams yesterday competed at a high level. We're sitting here in Houston. It was exciting to see the Texans in a meaningful game, the first time they've been in a game of such magnitude in a long, long time. And they played the Jaguars stride for stride. It was a marquee matchup. How did you break that down?
I break it down as Jacksonville had a great game. Josh Allen in particular he's in a contract year, and you would have thought his entire life depended on yesterday's game. Credit him. He is so talented. If they're going to keep him, they've got to pay him. He was the difference maker in the game. And I look at where the Texans are, and I think, you know what? That was horrendous blocking by the O-line for most of the game. A lot of missed blocks, tackles, mistakes, and they're still in it. All we needed was another 8 inches, and Amendola, who we got off the couch 2 weeks ago, was sitting there, just misses a 58-yard field goal. But it was his second miss of the game. So I'm bummed we didn't get it. However, this is what I would say, David. I think I love the respect between Trevor Lawrence and C.J. Stroud. It's there. I love the respect between
It's evident. It's you can see evident. That. They talked about it after the game.
Yep.
A lot of respect both ways.
And for some reason, it seemed like an easier game as a Texans fan to lose to.
There are moral defeats. I know everybody says, we don't accept moral victories or moral defeats. Look, that was a moral victory for the Texans. It was an amazing day. The stadium was full. People were excited. It was a meaningful game. So, yes, and seeing C.J. Stroud go stride for stride with Trevor does warrant some enthusiasm for the Texans.
And, of course, Stroud had another incredible day. Over 300 yards, 2 touchdowns, 47 yards rushing. So now, with that effort yesterday, C.J. Stroud became the first rookie to pass for at least 300 yards in 4 consecutive games.
Incredible.
And so, you know, we're sitting here in Houston, as you mentioned. Well, it would have been so nice to have that and take control of the AFC South. And now we're in the hunt. We're not really in the playoff race right at this moment. This is what I say. Take heart, Houston, because Trevor Lawrence, Doug Peterson and crew. I'm not counting Urban Meyer year because it wasn't even anything. They're a couple years ahead of where we are. We have a rookie quarterback. The Texans have a rookie head coach and they have a rookie OC and play caller in Bobby Slowick. And look, we're talking about them being in a playoff picture, you know, and that they have an over 500 record. You know, in Houston, it's been 4 years of a clown show between Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby, Deshaun Watson. It's been embarrassing. It's been a circus. Guess what, Houston? There's a legit product here to be excited about, too. We've got our franchise people in C.J. Stroud, D'Amico Ryans, and really Bobby Slowick. I think so, too. Patience is a virtue. This is so much better than any Texans fan could have dreamed about, and this is just the beginning. And I'm not saying we settle for losses in Houston at all, but I'm saying in the midst of this, we've got to remember we still need veteran pieces, but this is – I can't even believe the product we're seeing.
Well, what strikes me is look at the youth and the new talent that has come. Obviously, CJ's the headline there, but offensively, to see Tank Dell – who was a late-round draft pick, perform at that level.
A small guy out of U of H.
A lot of speed, a lot of excitement, and great hands. And then Nico Collins, to me, looks like the Slim Reaper. He looks like Devontae Smith.
I think so, too.
And I think he looks like an equivalent player to Devontae Smith. So to get two receivers to add to this team at this point, and, of course, throw in Dalton Schultz at tight end, and you've really got some weapons there that are exciting for the Texans offense. And all those guys should be back next year. I guess Schultz is on a one-year deal, but they'll probably try to lock him up because he does fit in well. And
he fits in very well.
Stroud loves him as a safety valve.
Yes.
So
yes.
They've got the offensive pieces and youth to grow. And so it'll be fun to watch that team develop. Now, on the Jaguars side, Jaguars, after that win yesterday, Jaguars sit at 8-3. They've got a two-game lead in their division. Both the Colts and the Texans are 6-5. The Jaguars, to me, at 8-3, that's impressive, but I just don't know that they're in the same category as some of the other elite teams in the AFC.
I agree with you. They're not consistent. They got blanked by the 49ers. The Texans went into Duval and beat them by 20. I mean, it's very – they looked good yesterday.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, David. It's not consistent, and I don't know – yeah, I don't have them going far into the playoffs. Now, they could surprise us because there are times they look unbelievable. Calvin Ridley had a great game yesterday as well. But, yeah, as far as consistency, I don't see it yet.
Yeah, that Calvin Ridley pickup in the offseason was sort of a quiet but really impactful move by the Jaguars. Give them credit for doing that because Calvin Ridley, by all accounts, was to be a number one receiver, and he's stepping into that role for the Jaguars. And there aren't a lot of guys who have been suspended for gambling like that. But why not pick him up? I mean, surely he's learned his lesson, and you've got a big-time talent that
And it doesn't affect the product on the field.
No.
And the guy's still amazing.
That's right.
Jeez.
It's not like he's went off and got himself fat or overweight or out of shape or anything. He's always been an elite receiver, and what
drugs.
A great addition to that team. And they really gave up very little to get him. So he really does help that offense. So I guess to me, the Jaguars, I don't – you know, you mentioned inconsistency, and they have been inconsistent, but so have most of the teams in the NFL. It's sort of hard for me to pick on them too
it's
much.
It's a funny year.
There are very few teams that have just been consistently good. Even the 49ers, who may be the best team in the whole NFL.
They went on that three-game losing streak when they didn't have Debo Samuel. And yes, that was so interesting.
And the Chiefs have had some ups and downs. The one team that has just consistently won and doesn't seem to lose is the Eagles, but they have played inconsistently. They have not always performed at their highest level, yet they've found ways to win. So that's a very impressive stat for them. But no, I'm gonna think of the Jaguars as a top four, maybe top five team in the AFC, but it's hard for me to put them in the 1, 2, or 3 category.
I'm with you there. Because I think getting blanked by a team is just brutal. Mm-hmm. And they did by the 49ers. Now, the 49ers are probably, to me, the second best team in the entire NFL. But, you know, when you talked about the Calvin Ridley pickup, which was so good for Jacksonville, you know who I think Houston should go after?
Hmm.
Mike Evans.
Yes.
because they need some veteran presence on that team. There's not a lot of it. He's from the Houston area. He cannot want to be on that Baker Mayfield-led Tampa Bay team. They're not even have a 500 record at this point. So disappointing. And he, while he's older and probably doesn't have a ton of years left, I think what he brings in the locker room and on the field would be amazing.
Well, so Mike Evans was
very... You're listening, DeMeco Casario? Go for
Mike. You want Mike Evans? I mean, he was outstanding yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
Getting some touchdown catches for the Buccaneers in their defeat. So, yeah, he'd be an amazing addition. That would make that receiving core with Tank Dell and Nico Collins not just good, but exceptional.
Right.
They would rival lots of the receiving cores around the league. I mean, the Eagles would have something to say about that because of their core. So would the 49ers, I suppose. But that would be an exceptional group.
I think so, too. All right.
All right. Just at the other end of the spectrum, we've got the NFC South. That division, we wanted to talk about.
It keeps going south.
I mean, my goodness.
There is not a team in there that has a winning record. Not even the first place team. What the heck?
Yeah, right now at the top of that division, you've got the Falcons at 5-6. And they beat yesterday the Saints, who are now 5-6. And so one of those two teams... I guess you could count the Buccaneers at 4-7 as still in the hunt.
Sure.
But they are only one game behind, but they're a team with a 4-7 record. It's just hard to think of that Buccaneers team as in the playoff hunt. But somebody's going to win that division and probably play the...
Do they have to?
Well, yeah, well, I'm afraid we're going to have to take
That's
one of them.
That's going to be some bad football if this doesn't turn around.
Bad football.
Do you know yesterday in the New Orleans game, all 15 points are from the kicker?
Yeah, that's a bad sign.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
To me... Dennis Allen, who's running the scheme here? Mm-hmm. You've got Derek Carr. This guy is not a slouch. Come on. Wow.
Yeah, tough day.
That's a tough division.
I mean, it is interesting because you can
tough
almost
to watch division.
There's some playoff matchups that we can already see. And one, I think, will be the winner of the NFC South playing the wildcard team with the best overall record. And the wildcard team with the best overall record is likely to be the Cowboys.
Oh, my gosh.
And the Cowboys.
Go Cowboys.
Yeah, the opening week should be playing either the Falcons or the Saints. Because I don't think the Cowboys are going to be able to catch the Eagles. The Eagles have just...
You don't think so?
Well, the Eagles, I mean, the chance, the conversation really was a couple weeks ago in that, well, the Eagles went out and beat the Chiefs, they beat the Cowboys, and they beat the Bills. All games that they might
and the
have
Dolphins.
Lost. And it's all, if they'd lost one of those, then the Cowboys would be within one and they do play
True.
Again. Anyway, when we come back, we're going to get a chance to visit with Howard Balzer, Hall of Fame voter in the NFL. We're going to ask him about the Cardinals. Will they be looking for a quarterback in the draft? That up next here on Sports Map Radio.
It's the Boss
and the Gloss
on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios,
here's David Gow and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and we are excited to have us join us on the Progressive Insurance guest line, the iconic one, Howard Balzer, Hall of Fame voter in the NFL. Howard, great to have you. You're on with David and Carla.
Always enjoy coming on with you both. How are you all doing on this Monday after Thanksgiving?
Well, we... Always enjoy having you, particularly Carla. You know, she has a thing for your voice. There's something about
it. It's the best, Howard.
She just
melts. Don't go changing.
I've heard that. Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
I mean, it's just, I have to say it every time you come on because I see Carla get all flustered when she hears you speak. So.
Well, she does a good job. So if she is flustered, she has a good way of overcoming that.
Thank you, Howard. I'm really trying.
Yeah, she's showing some self-restraint. She's very good that way. So we're so glad to have you, and let's talk Cardinals, because I know you're up there in Phoenix. And by the way, anybody who wants to read Howard, you can read him on gophoenix.com. It's actually gophnx.com, gophnx.com. Howard Balzer is there. So, Howard, the Cardinals fell yesterday. I'd love to get your read on the state of the Cardinals. It's been a tough year. Kyler Murray recently coming back. What is your read on the state of the Cardinals?
The state of the Cardinals now, I think it seems like they're just trying to get through these last five games and hopefully, you know, be competitive and play solid football and hope that Kyler Murray can, you know, get better each week. I think I wrote last night that it seems there might have been a little false sense of security. I don't know if that's the right term, but maybe a little overreaction because of the way they won the first game back, and all of a sudden everybody's saying, oh, Kyler looks great. Oh, my goodness, I can't believe he looks this good. The first game and all those things. And then, but there were some struggles in that game. But as we know, a lot of times when the team wins a game, a lot of those things get overlooked. They get magnified when you lose. And he's... Yeah, right now, though, they just don't have a lot around him. And that's lost in the translation a lot of times when we analyze quarterbacks. In fact, I joked last week with Michael Wilson, who's been a real good rookie receiver for them. He's missed the last two games. And I joked last week on Sunday when found out that Wilson was inactive. I said, I hope someone can get a pregame photo shoot of Kyler Murray and all his active receivers to find out if any of them are actually taller than him.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, no.
Because they're not.
Gosh.
I mean, they're not. They're all, and one of that's counting, Andre Bichella, who's just active because Wilson's been hurt. He's 5'10". The other guys are 5'9", 5'7", and 5'7". So that affects the offense. The offensive line is a work in progress. Kyler certainly is kind of trying to get back into rhythm and all those things. I mean, this is like preseason. This is almost still like an extension of training camp for him. He hasn't had that much practice, didn't have an off season, obviously. So I think maybe people's expectations were a little too high. But defensively, oh, my goodness, the last two games – they've allowed in the first half.
Oh my gosh,
just in the first half. In the last two games, they've allowed a total of 42 points in the first half and 620 yards of offense.
And Jonathan Gannon is a defensive coordinator from Philly. What the heck?
But again, Jonathan Gannon was coaching a whole lot of really good players.
Yeah.
You know, the Fletcher Coxes of the world and Javon Hargrave, who left as a free agent. And, you know, I could go down the list of the guys that they had on that defense. The Cardinals yesterday were playing a defensive line that had one player playing that played in week one. And that was just a solid guy, Jonathan Ledbetter. And he was questionable for the game with a shoulder injury, and he had to play. The other guys, three of them weren't even on the team at week one, much less, not even on the practice squad. So that's an issue. They lost Kaiser White last week, probably for the season, with an injury. They benched Marco Wilson, their most experienced corner, aside from Antonio Hamilton, who was inactive. And the three top corners they played were all rookies, and a couple of them weren't even Cardinals. I mean, they claimed them on waivers, and they were undrafted guys, and the one Cardinal that they had from the beginning, Keytrell Clark, is a six-round pick. So my view of it is they're just talent deficient.
And that's due to injury, mainly. I mean,
yeah,
you've had like
100
missed games,
most
of them from starters, honestly.
Yeah, three 73 almost three quarters. And so, coaches can talk all they want about doing the right thing and having the right fits on run defense and shedding blocks and all that. But you know what? A lot of times when the other team is just better than your guys, then they're going to win those matchups most of the time. And, Jonathan Gannon talked today about having to be more consistent. Well, yeah, that every team strives to be more consistent. But if you're not as good talent-wise as the other team, it's hard to maintain that consistency. So, like I said at the top, they're trying to get through these last five games, and then they know they've got a lot of work to do in the offseason to try to make this a better team next year. Because I think a lot of fans, a lot of people expected something like this. You get teased a little during the season when a team plays well here and there or whatever, and you start, oh, maybe they're better than we thought. Well, they are what their record is. So I think fans could accept it for this year because they saw what they were doing. I don't know that they will so quickly next year because they'll expect a whole lot more progress and a whole lot better football.
And you think Jonathan Gannon will have at least another year because Kyler Murray came in so late in the season and the injury bug has clearly bitten this roster. He gets another chance, you think, or is he on a hot seat?
I don't think he's on a hot seat. Okay. I don't think that Michael Bidwell is going to pull. Hey, he's still paying Steve Keim, and he's still paying Cliff Kingsbury and some other coaches. He certainly don't want to pay Jonathan Gannon and whatever coaches would then leave. So I don't think he would do a David Tepper for that matter.
Good
and
Lord.
So, but I do really? Think that they believe that he has established a good culture and a good atmosphere about this team. They still fight. They play hard. But deep down, they know that they need a lot better players.
We're talking to Howard Balzer. He is a Hall of Fame voter for the NFL. And I'd love to ask you about the quarterback position. Kyler Murray has come back. He's looked good. He's not looked good. But there has been a question whether the Cardinals will look for another quarterback in this draft. I mean, they're going to have one of the top picks. You've noted they have lots of needs across the roster. A Marvin Harrison would be a great fit there. But do you think they'll look at a quarterback position?
It's a great question, and that's what everybody is debating now, because many were saying, hey, look at these games that Kyler Murray is going to play, and hopefully that will solidify in the team's mind that they have the guy that they can build around. And so I guess it's how you evaluate that. Do they evaluate and say, hey, we see the good things. We realize there's a lot of other stuff that prevents him from being playing top-line football, but he still shows the things that they know about him and the things that he's capable of. And so I don't think they will look for another quarterback. That's my gut. My gut might be wrong. It's been wrong before. But they could end up – the interesting thing will be is if they decide to keep Kyler Murray, do they then take a Marvin Harrison with one of, with the high pick they have? Will they identify another position that they need? Or will they look at it and say, we need so much help that somebody else is going to want a quarterback where they're picking, and we'll make trades to move down, still get excellent players and get more picks that will come in and help this team. And the one thing they've gotten a very good contribution from their rookies this year, and I'm sure they're confident they can do that next year. And while obviously Marvin Harrison will be very enticing, I think that it's not as if he's going to be the only wide receiver in the draft that can come in and help your football team. But I'm sure the enticement part of it with that 6'4" height, and I mean Kyler Murray's that 7-0 start in 2021 was with a receiving core that was making a lot of big plays with DeAndre Hopkins,
yep, exactly,
and Christian Kirk, and even A.J. Green was contributing because of those other guys being there. And they were all, you know, over 6 foot. And Green, of course, about 6'4", 6'5". So they definitely know they need that at that position. And so, but I'm, like I said, I'm sure there will be other receivers in the draft that they can say, hey, this guy's really good too. This guy's a playmaker. This guy's dynamic. And I think that's the way that's the measured way that you approach the draft.
Well, you know, Howard, you bring a good point. I didn't realize the height disadvantage of the receivers in Arizona. I mean, it's hard enough with Kyler Murray being short, like the receivers not being able to see him or vice versa, but when short on both sides, trying to look over 6'7" linemen, good luck to you. So, wow. That is a challenge. So, but your rookies are getting a lot of time, so that's good.
Yeah.
You know, that's going to make them better. That's how they get better, is time on the field.
No doubt. Now, Christian Kirk's officially 5'11", so at least he would be taller than Kyler Murray. But, I mean, you know, Hollywood Brown's your number one guy.
Right.
And
right.
He's 5'9". He needs someone else on the opposite side to make him be as good as he can be.
He is Howard Balzer. You can read him on GOPHNX.com, GoPhoenix.com. Howard, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure. Take
care.
Have
Howard.
A good one.
Take care.
You're listening to The Boss and the Gloss on the Sports Map Radio Network.
From the Sports Map Radio Studios, here's David Gao and Carla Dawson.
Welcome back, and the Panthers have made a big coaching change. Dave Tepper, the owner of the Panthers, decided he'd had or seen enough of Frank Reich, his head coach.
12 games in, bye-bye.
12 games in, bye-bye. I might use those words. That works.
I like that. That sounded really good. Give your bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
A little more. Yeah, there
it's
we go.
It's over.
It's over.
Look, Tepper's come in, and course, when he stepped in, he had Ron Rivera. He let him go. Then he hired Matt Rhule out of Baylor.
Midseason.
Yes.
Yep.
And then he hired Matt Rhule.
Gave him a fat contract.
Big contract.
I mean fat.
Probably still paying some dollars
on
that one.
Yeah, he is.
And now Frank Reich. You didn't like the Frank Reich hire in the first place.
I didn't. Frank Reich has spent, when he left Philadelphia, he went to Indy, spent 5 years in Indy. And how many playoff wins did he have? Uno. This is single finger win. One. He was fired 9 games in last year in Indianapolis. Why in the world would you hire someone who had just been fired a year earlier? I mean, not even the year earlier when he was hired. So I'm confused by I was confused by the hiring in the first place. And you know who I feel the worst for besides the Carolina fan base? Bryce Young.
Mm.
Dang it. I mean, your season's a disaster.
Yeah, that's interesting because Reich was brought in part because they thought he was somebody who could develop a quarterback. And remember, he really developed his reputation when he was the offensive coordinator with the Eagles.
Yes.
And he did such good work with Nick Foles. They went on to win a Super Bowl. So he's got a Super Bowl ring as an offensive coordinator. But obviously, as you've just noted, as a head coach, his record is abysmal. And now he's out in Carolina. They've got to regroup there, and Dave Tepper will figure it out. One thing that is sort of interesting to reflect on, so you've got two coaches already who've been fired. Obviously, Josh McDaniels out with the Raiders. Frank Reich out with the Panthers.
Hallelujah to both of those.
There will be more to come this offseason.
I think so.
There always is. Black Monday,
right?
Do
you think there'll be more in season?
No, I guess I don't.
You think at this point
we've only got, what, 5 games remaining for most teams. And I guess there are coaches who might be on the hot seat that I think I think ownership will just let them ride it out. But let's talk about who else is at risk. I mean, Bill Belichick at 2-9.
Oh, he's a serious bye-bye.
It would seem something's happened there. I don't know if he's mentally checked out. I don't know if the team checked out on him, but they just are not competitive. They were competitive yesterday.
They're
came down to a field goal.
2-9.
But 2-9 against
record.
Tommy DeVito was the loss yesterday. That's just horrendous.
Yeah, you're right. It's not only 2-9, but you lost to the Tommy DeVito Giants.
Yeah.
Like, what is even coming out of my mouth? What are those words that I even pieced together? Well, this is a worse record for Belichick than he had in Cleveland.
Belichick made a living off of making rookie quarterbacks look bad. He always would have a scheme that would confuse them, and he would just destroy them. But not Tommy DeVito yesterday, who walked out with a win. Look, it wasn't as if DeVito lit up the Patriots' defense. It was low-scoring game. But the Patriots lost again. Just devastating for New England.
I mean, Mac Jones, who was benched again at the half, listen to his line, David. And this is where Tommy DeVito looks like a star. Mac Jones was 12 of 21 for, 89 yards. 89 yards. My dog, who's 6 pounds, could probably run more yards than that. 2 interceptions, 3 yards. Yikes. Tommy DeVito's line, 17 of 25, 191 yards and a touchdown. That looks like Pro Bowl numbers compared to Mac Jones.
Right.
And you know what I heard this morning by some of the talking heads? I'm not even going to say the names. Well, obviously, Bill O'Brien is a great mind. I can't believe what's happening. I'm like, he is not a great mind. What part of this is telling you that Bill O'Brien is the quarterback whisperer? If he's whispering, he's whispering, please suck, Mac. I'd like to bench you. What is he whispering? I don't get it. What Kool-Aid is the media? We know too much here in Houston. We've seen too much. I don't get it. But anyway, so I think Bill Belichick has got to be on the hot seat. He brought in Bill O'Brien, God knows why. Mac Jones has been a certified disaster. I think that Robert Kraft is going to do the respectable thing and not do this in season and just say.
Yeah, they're going to have one of these things where they have a sit down and then there'll be a press release. They have parted by mutual agreement.
Exactly.
They'll have a settlement. Belichick will walk away. I do think he'll get another job and another opportunity to chase Don Shula's all-time wins record. But I do agree, Belichick would be out at New England. Let's go to the Chargers. Brandon Staley, you've been saying for weeks, this is not new news, but Brandon Staley,
a broken record.
It's time. Their team is 4-7. They're wasting Justin Herbert. That's a team that seems like an obvious change.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. The Spanos family did what they should have. They paid Justin Herbert. They locked him up. They gave him pieces. He's got great personnel. Even that defense is good, really good. And Brandon Staley's supposed to be the boy wonder in defense. They are terrible. They should not have this record. And I really feel badly for Justin Herbert. And I feel bad for these guys that are going out there and they're losing by small margins. But they are constantly losing. They do not have a 500 record. This is inexcusable. The longer you keep Brandon Staley, the longer this is going to happen. Cut your losses, and this should be done now. This should not be wait till the end of the season. I'm over it. I am over it. I told you at the beginning that the only thing holding back the Chargers is their head coach.
Now, that is something you said at the outset of the season. So let's go down this roster because right now on Black Monday, you're terminating Bill Belichick and Brandon Staley.
I'm okay to have Bill Belichick till the end. I think he has earned the respect to go out on his own terms.
I'm envisioning most of these guys are going to be firings that happen at the end of the season.
Okay.
But one big question mark for me is Brian Daboll.
Mm-hmm. He was coach of the year last year.
Well, they're 4-8. And, yes, he had a good year last year. He got the most out of Daniel Jones, as high as that can go. And Jones is gone. He's playing with Tommy DeVito. He's got a record of 4-8. He comes with good pedigree, having done really yeoman's work with the Bills. Would you fire him if you had the control of the New York Giants?
No. I think it's too early because you look at what's happened to him. What Brian Daboll did last year was amazing. And Daniel Jones should have Brian Daboll on his Christmas list every year because Brian Daboll got that guy paid money that he truly doesn't deserve as far as talent goes. Nice kid, all the things. But you and I marveled. We were there at the NFL draft when he was taken number 6 overall by the Giants. And he really, I mean, he played exactly how we thought he would. And last year, Brian Daboll really made some changes, made Daniel Jones look decent. He got paid. But no, I think Daboll needs more time to have a real quarterback and to have some real weapons around him.
Fair enough. Now, Ron Rivera, we talked about he's likely to go with new ownership and Commanders struggling with 4 wins and 8 losses.
Yeah, how do you feel about that? You think Ron Rivera needs another chance?
Well, I think he's a quality coach, but I do think that he's had a decent run there with the Commanders, a decent amount of time, I would say.
I think 4 years.
They sort of need a fresh start with the Commanders.
Would you keep Bieniemy?
Oh, man, I might make Bieniemy the head coach. I think Bieniemy deserves to be a head coach somewhere.
I love that.
He would actually be a great fit for the Chargers. Imagine Bieniemy working with Justin Herbert.
Oh, my, forget it. I mean, that would be amazing.
When we think about next up head coaches.
Oh, I love that,
It strikes David. Me that Eric Bieniemy, awesome. I mean, when he was the offensive coordinator for the Chiefs, everybody speculated that Bieniemy would get a head coaching opportunity very soon, and yet he didn't. And a lot of the narrative there was, well, it's hard to tell how much of it is Bieniemy versus Andy Reid. Andy Reid was calling the plays, but Bieniemy has come to the Commanders and really elevated the play of Sam Howell.
Look amazing.
Sam Howell has looked like a legitimate quarterback, and I give a lot of credit to Eric Bieniemy. And so I do think, look, if there's a house cleaning with the Commanders, I think Bieniemy might be a guy to land with the Chargers or certainly find a different home. There are other opportunities. I mean, I think he could be a good candidate for your Raiders. Why not? I mean, I don't think Antonio Pierce is going to get the nod. And why not bring in Eric Bieniemy? I think he would be a very good head coach. I think he should be on the short list to step in for one of these openings.
I agree with you. I love that.
Okay, Matt Eberflus, you mentioned earlier you think he's on the short list. He ought to be gone.
He's 6-22 in his 2-year stint so far.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's got Justin Fields, who is a good quarterback. Has he been developed properly? No. But how many chances do you get? They're 3-8. Going into the match tonight against the Minnesota Vikings. We'll see how that goes. But Chicago's been a mess. This should not be acceptable for Bears fans or the Bears organization for that matter. So I think his seat is hot.
And then we also heard from Howard Balzer on the fate of Jonathan Gannon with the Cardinals. Look, the Cardinals are only 2-10, but I think he gets a hall pass. It's his first year. Kyler Murray has not been on the team for most of the season. I think Gannon will get to come back, and he does have that team playing hard.
And with injuries, that team, that they've lost 100 games to injury, 100 players to injuries, but 100 games with injuries.
All right, when we come back, we're going to take a look at the Denver Broncos. They have won 5 in a row.
What? the woo.
Are you now a believer? We'll answer that question when we return here on Sports Map Radio.